pastor of Covenant Reformed Church, and this is the second CRC podcast. Today is Monday, March 23, 2020. I know it's been a long time since the first CRC podcast. It's been about 7 months, and I hope that it won't be so long between this one and the next one. Lord willing, another heart attack is not in my future, so we can do these podcasts on a more regular schedule. If you want to keep up to date with our blogs, our podcasts, and our sermons, or if you want general information about our church or myself, you can find us online at covreformedchurch.org. That's covreformedchurch.org. Our church is also on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. If you head over to our website, you will find links to all of those social media platforms. I have to admit that it is getting to the point where I cannot remember the last conversation I had where there was no mention of the coronavirus or COVID-19. What strange times we are living in where the conversation in my peer group has gone away from sports to talk of a pandemic. It truly is weird. In December, in a faraway land, China battled with a virus that, if you're like me, you never thought would ever come here. It had a SARS feel to it, and I think most of us felt pretty safe over here in North America. But since then, this virus has spread to more than 115 nations, has infected nearly 367,000 people, and has claimed just over 16,000 victims. Those are numbers as of this afternoon, according to the Johns Hopkins University website. In Canada, things only seem to be ramping up. And as isolated as Manitoba seems to be, we are not immune. Our confirmed and presumptive cases have reached 20 as of this morning. We may not have the number of cases that Ontario or BC has, nor are they appearing at the same rate, but I think we're all feeling the effects. Businesses have shut down, schools are closed, people are working from home, people are off work entirely. We have new ideas taking center stage in our collective mind that we never thought would be there. Things like self-isolation and social distancing. It's all made us a little bit crazy as a nation, I think. Never before in my life did I think the toilet paper would be more valuable than Apple stock. Or that people would be hoarding hand sanitizer like it was the most precious material on earth. We're even getting suspicious of each other in ways that we never were before. When we do emerge from quarantine in our houses and we're forced to move around where other people are, don't we look at each other a little bit differently now? Don't we look at each other with a bit of suspicion that we never had before? We look at somebody standing next to us in the grocery store aisle and we think, he doesn't look so good. I better move away from him. Or she just scratched her throat. She must be infected. Run away! When you think about it, we're living in some crazy times and we are having some crazy thoughts. Now, Zombieland this is not, but it kind of feels like it sometimes. Thinking about our current situation has drawn me to a number of passages in Scripture. I want to reflect on one of them today and hopefully get to at least another one in the near future. The passage I want to talk about today is Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Let me read those verses to you. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, each had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. Let me set the context of the passage. Explain just a little bit of what was going on in these seven verses, although nothing even remotely close to a full commentary. And then what I want to do is draw a few lessons from it, which I think should encourage and challenge us in our current climate. If you want to know what kind of king Uzziah was and where he took Israel under his reign, you can head back into 2 Chronicles chapter 26 for those details. At this point, the detail we need to know about Uzziah is that from an earthly perspective, he was a good king who reigned for a long time, over 50 years. He had a lengthy reign in which Israel prospered in numerous ways. It was a time of peace and prosperity for the nation of Israel as it enjoyed military success, the expansion of its armed forces, and undertook many building projects. Uzziah's death marked the end of an era for Israel, and it would have thrown the nation into a bit of upheaval. When a king dies who has reigned for so long and so successfully, again, from the world's perspective, the dangers come forward almost immediately. The economy wavers a little bit because no one really knows what the next king's policies are going to be. Political strife begins as the powers within government battle for control of the next king who will sit on the highest seat in the land. Outside enemies look at Israel and see that they are in a state of flux and may decide that this is the right time to attack. It is during times like this that the structures of society can crumble. It's during times like this that dark clouds of uncertainty can hang over an entire nation. Sounds a bit like our time, doesn't it? Our leaders haven't died, and if they did, we probably wouldn't feel the same pressures that ancient Israel felt. But it sure feels like the world has spun off its axis. We are living in uncertain times. Grocery stores are picked over and look like something out of the 1930s. We're told to stay home as much as possible. And if we do go out, we're not supposed to get within 6 feet of another person, and we are definitely not to gather together in groups. Our economy is waffling on the edge of collapse. The borders are closed. Our kids are home from school. Our leaders don't really seem to know what they're doing since they've never had to deal with anything like this before. The media has gone insane. Memes have taken over the internet. And worst of all, no sports. No hockey. No basketball. No baseball. No soccer. Probably no Olympics. It all makes you wonder, where is God? It was in the context of upheaval and uncertainty in the nation of Israel that God revealed himself to the prophet Isaiah. He was worshiping the temple one day when his vision was lifted beyond the familiar surroundings of the man-made temple, and he was ushered into the presence of God. During the craziest and most uncertain of times for Israel, Isaiah's eyes were drawn away from the dead earthly king to the true living king. It's a vision that has much to teach us, especially in the times in which we find ourselves. Let me just highlight three quick things. First thing, God is in control even when everything seems to be out of control. Where is God? Well, he's sitting on his throne. Two important aspects of this early part of Isaiah's vision. First, God is sitting. He's not pacing. He's not anxiously seeking counsel. He's not rocking back and forth in anxious anticipation of what might happen to his people now that the king has died. No, he's just sitting there. Why? Because God is in complete control of everything that's going on. The world is not falling apart. It's completely under his control. All is at peace in heaven, and God is in control, even though it may not look like it on earth. Second, notice where God sits. He sits on his throne. This is the place of authority and strength and might. The throne indicates the right that God has to rule the world. We do not have to worry that God is not in control or that he might not know what he is doing. God is sitting on his throne. It is high and lifted up. No opposing authority can challenge his rule. No situation can surprise him. No other power can cause him to change his perfect sovereign plan. What an encouraging picture for Isaiah and for us. The sovereign Lord of creation sitting calmly on his throne, working out his plan. As the psalmist says, is Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Or we could take this psalm into our own time and paraphrase it like this. I will not fear, though my savings have nearly been wiped out, though I'm unemployed, though I am sick in body, though I can't find any toilet paper, though my life has been turned upside down, though I worry about the future, I will not fear, for God is my refuge and strength. We might not know what's going on, but God does, and he is our only place of refuge when the world seems to be crumbling around us. Second point, God is near to us. Notice verse 3, we are told that God's glory fills the whole earth. God is not only in complete control and completely sovereign and reigning from his throne in heaven, but he is also with us. He is both transcendent and immanent. He is transcendent in majesty and near to us, his creatures. This gives God's sovereignty a tremendous personal touch. God is not so transcendent that he's out of touch with what we're going through. He is not so far above us in his heavenly place that he is immune to what we need. Not at all. He knows what we need before we need it. He knows our struggles and our pain and our worries. He knows about our apprehensiveness concerning the future. And he invites us to share these things with him, to find the solutions to these problems in him, and to faithfully submit all of these things to his sovereignty and to his plan as he seeks his own glory in us and in our world in ways that we simply cannot understand. Third point. Our biggest need isn't our physical health or our financial health. It is our spiritual health that truly matters. As important as jobs, physical health, savings, and toilet paper are, they pale in comparison to our ultimate need. As Isaiah sees God, he also hears the angels around the throne saying to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And this is a problem for Isaiah. Holiness means many things, but the one that confronts Isaiah most clearly here is that God cannot be in the presence of sin. He has to be separate from it, which means that he must judge it and pour out his wrath against it as he sees it in Isaiah. This means that Isaiah must die, for the wages of sin is death. Isaiah himself recognizes this. He declares, "Woe is me, for I am lost." But God is gracious to Isaiah. He sends an angel to him to cleanse him by touching his mouth with a lump of coal taken from the altar of sacrifice. And in so doing, Isaiah's guilt is removed and his sin atoned. Like Isaiah, we need the grace of God and an atoning sacrifice to take away our sin far more than we need anything else. Praise be to God that he has provided this for us. Romans 5, 6 to 8 tells us that while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. One will scarcely die for a righteous person, Paul says, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is our truest and most immediate need. Full atonement in the blood of Jesus Christ who takes away the sin of the world. Through faith in Christ, we receive justification from the guilt of sin, cleansing from the power of sin, propitiation from God's wrath against sin. In Christ, we find redemption, deliverance, and hope. Listen, the coronavirus sucks. The upheaval it has caused and will cause is real, and its effects are difficult. We don't know where things will go, and we don't know when this all will end. But please, don't lose hope, and don't lose sight of your true need. God is sitting on his throne. He is in complete control. God is also near to you. He loves you and desires to hear all of your struggles and your doubts. And most of all, God has provided the solution to your greatest need. He's given you a Savior, Jesus Christ, who is received by faith. Soli Deo Gloria. That's all for me. If you have any questions or comments about this podcast or anything else, or if you have an idea for a future podcast, go to our website, covreformchurch.org, covreformchurch.org. Click on the Ask Pastor Jared tab and let me know.